In Ephesians chapter 1, a portion of scripture that's very familiar to us here at Cool Springs, I'd like to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul is going to be telling the Ephesian people, the members of the Ephesian church, who they are in Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more important in my life or your life than for us to know who we are in Jesus. So he begins in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That's reading down through verse 7. And I hope you noticed who these Ephesians were in Jesus Christ. They are blessed with all spiritual blessings. How many of y'all this morning feel blessed with all spiritual blessings? Now, he's going to begin to itemize those spiritual blessings. And we have many natural blessings that we're aware of, but he's going to now point out our spiritual blessings. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now that's an incredible blessing, isn't it? That God chose us in Christ, and he chose us before the foundation of the world. How many of y'all feel chosen this morning by God? I hope you feel that way. And then he would say that we have been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. We have been adopted into God's family. And then he would say that we have been made accepted in the beloved. Jesus didn't give himself to us for us to accept him, but he made us accepted to the Father by what he did for us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now let's notice who these Ephesians are that Paul is writing to. They are saints. They are chosen. They are predestined. They are adopted. They are accepted. They are redeemed. And they are forgiven. Wow. Would y'all call that spiritual blessings? And I just want to say right now, I believe all of you here today are in that same category. You all have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Now, why would Paul begin this chapter or this book to the Ephesians by identifying who they were in Jesus Christ? Because, beloved, if you and I, as God's children, can ever know who we are in Jesus Christ, it will go a long way in helping us to behave as children of God. Notice later on in Ephesians, the church at Ephesus had problems. They had members in it that were sinners like we all are today. But notice in chapter 4 of Ephesians, he would say in verse, beginning in verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, neither whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So as you read these verses in chapter 4, it's obvious that the members of the Ephesian church were sinners, just like you and I are, and Paul is trying to get them to behave. Later on in chapter 5, let's notice what he says, "And be followers," verse 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So, as you read chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Ephesians, you realize Paul is admonishing them to lay aside the old man. He would say in chapter 4 and verse 21, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So Paul is saying to these Ephesians, now remember, they are saints, they are chosen, they are predestined, they're adopted, they are redeemed, they are forgiven. Now, y'all got to remember all this about them. And yet, these people are capable of committing some horrible sins. So, Paul is saying that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. See, if they didn't have this, they couldn't pull it off. I can take this coat off this morning because I've got it on. Well, these people need to put off concerning their former conversation, the old man, because they're sinners, just like you and I are sinners. Can I get a witness? When I was reading all those sins that these people were obviously guilty of, like anger, stealing, corrupt communications out of their mouths, grieving the Holy Spirit, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Have y'all ever seen any of that in you? Well, we've all got that nature in us, and we need to pull it off, and we need to put on, as he says, the new man. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 is really giving the church at Ephesus good instructions about how to live a good Christian life. Well, if they had all these problems in their church, why didn't Paul start out by admonishing them? Why did he start out by telling them who they were in Jesus Christ? Now, I want you all to stay with me this morning. There's a reason why the order is here in this book, the book of Ephesians. Beloved, if you and I, as the children of God, can ever get it into our minds who we are in Jesus Christ, it will go a long way in helping us to behave like we should in the Lord Jesus. You are chosen by God, and he chose you before the foundation of the world. So your being chosen was not based on anything that he saw in you. You need to remember every morning that you, when you awake, that you're one of God's children. You've been chosen. You have been predestinated under the adoption of children. You're his children. You have been adopted into God's family. Furthermore, you have been made accepted in the Beloved. You wonder how God could ever accept you or me, because we have been made accepted in Jesus Christ. God didn't accept us because of our good works or our life. He accepted us because his son Jesus made us accepted in the Beloved. You are redeemed. You have been bought back by the blood of Jesus. And you have been forgiven. You stand before God today, the judge of all the earth, as being forgiven in Jesus Christ our Lord. And once you are blessed to know who you are, you, beloved, it makes a radical change in our lives. Some years ago, I read a story about a governor of Tennessee, and I forget his name this morning, but there was a pastor and his wife from somewhere in the Midwest who had gone to Tennessee to on a little vacation. They'd been real busy and they'd been stressed out, so they just wanted to get away for a few days, just have a little downtime, a vacation. And they were sitting in this restaurant in the mountains of Tennessee, enjoying their meal, and this old bearded man with white hair was walking around in the restaurant, speaking to everybody, greeting everybody. And they were hoping the old man would miss them. They didn't really want to visit with anybody. They just wanted to be alone. But sure enough, he showed up at their table and introduced himself. And he was the former governor of the state of Tennessee. And he started talking to this couple and asked them where they were from. They were from the Midwest, wanted to know what he did, and he told him he was a pastor. And so the old man just pulled up a chair and sat down at the table. And he said, I want to tell you about my life. He said, when I was born here in Tennessee, my mother was not married. and I never have known my father. And when I was a little boy growing up, the children in school had a certain word they chose to describe me as. It's not a pretty word at all. And he said they would make fun of me. And they would laugh at me because I was born out of wedlock. And he said the children would bully me. But he said I would go to church and sit in the back and listen to the hymns and listen to the sermon. And I always felt a peace at church. But he said I would try to get out of church before anybody had a chance to speak to me in fear that they might bring up my past. And he said, one time we got a new pastor, and he didn't know me, didn't know my story, and he was determined to speak to me that particular Sunday, and I couldn't get out before he got to me. And he spoke to me, and he said, son, what's your name? And the boy thought, surely the pastor is not going to make fun of me. And then the pastor remembered. He'd heard that story about the little boy. And the pastor felt compassion for him. And he said, oh, I know who you are. You're one of God's little boys. And he said, that changed my life. You're one of God's little boys. And it changed his life dramatically. And he started getting more interested in school and went on to get an education and finally became the governor of the state of Tennessee. And you know what really changed him? Being identified as one of God's little children. I wish all the children in the world that are being bullied, and there's a lot of bullying that goes on, online especially today. It's cruel. And I saw the other day a lady who has started a movement trying to help children that are being bullied online because her daughter was being so bullied, she took her life at the age of 14. Now, that's cruel, beloved. You and I need to tell our children who they are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Tell them who they are. You are chosen by God, the only one that really matters. You have been predestinated under the adoption of children. See, in the Roman Empire, and Ephesus was a part of the Roman Empire, this city of Ephesus was in a part of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire, in those days, could be very cruel to the children that were being born. And if a father saw his child and he didn't approve of it, maybe he wanted a boy and it was a girl, or maybe the child had a birthmark that he didn't like, or some kind of deformity, he would just refuse the child. And this is historical. They would take those unwanted children out to the city dump and leave them there, either to die from dehydration or hypothermia if it was cold. And other people would go by and see those children and look at them and see, is this a child I would want to take into my home? Actually, a medical doctor wrote a book in those days telling how you can look at a little infant and see if it's something you would want or not. That's cruel, isn't it? And as I was reading that this week, I thought, but America, how many children have we aborted? 60 million plus. I want to tell you, that's horrible. We think of them as being barbaric, but we are. This country is horrible. to think about, to legalize cold-blooded, premeditated murder. Well, anyway, if somebody would go along and see one of these little kids that was not wanted, and they would take it in and maybe take it home, Paul, no doubt, was using some of the situations of that day to relate to the doctrine of salvation by grace. Notice what he would say, having predestinated us under the adoption of children. Now, this medical doctor who wrote a book telling people what to look for in a little baby to see if you'd really want it or not, that choice of that child was based on some quality that the adult would see in the child. But beloved, when God saw us, he didn't see anything in us worthy of being accepted. Do y'all know that? The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That would be Mary, and that would include Mary and Joseph, the mother and father of Jesus, adopted father. That would include Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That would include Joseph. It would include Paul himself. Listen, none of us were worthy of being adopted by God. Why did God adopt his children? Because he loved them. See, it was all about love. That's the amazing thing about our God. He is a God of love. And his love is unconditional. It's eternal. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. And when a child of God is blessed in this life to see who they are in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, that will go a long way in helping them to behave like the children of God. And so Paul established their identity early on in this book. He's telling them, you're saints. Now, and y'all are saints. Did you know I came over here this morning to Cool Springs to preach to saints? And furthermore, y'all came to listen to Saint Samuel. Now, let's use that word in the context of Scripture. The word saint means set apart. You were set apart in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. That's what makes us saints, the fact that we were chosen. Now, as Paul goes on in this letter, he's going to teach us how to behave like saints. How many of y'all want to behave like saints? Well, let's turn on, because I'll tell you, he gives us some very good details about how we are to behave as the children of God. Be ye angry and sin not. Listen, there's things in this life that you and I ought to be angry about, but not to the point that we would sin. Listen, when you see injustice in this world, that ought to make us angry, but not to the point that we would sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Wrath belongs to God, not to us. Vengeance belongs to God, not to you and not to me. Give, he would say, neither give place to the devil. Wow. That is, don't give him a foothold in your life. Don't make any room for Satan in your life. If you're reading something or watching something or in some conversation that's ungodly, you are giving place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil, because he wants to move in, and Satan wants to take over. He wants to be in the driver's seat. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so Paul is admonishing us, neither give place to the devil. Be very careful what you read, what you watch, what you listen to. because Satan will use anything he can to get into our minds and take over. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And rather than stealing, let's go to work. And then we'll be able to give to somebody that has a need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Beloved, our tongues have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. They don't belong to us. Let's use our tongues in a way that honors him and edifies one another. Notice again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Beloved, James tells us that the tongue is a small member of the family, of the body. The tongue, it's a small member, but he said it can do a lot of damage. If you don't bridle that tongue, if you just say whatever pops into your head, you can do a lot of damage to a lot of people in this world. And the Bible admonishes us to bridle the tongue. Now, you can't tame it, but you can bridle it. Like a horse that has been bridled. That horse has been bridled, and a little bit in its mouth can cause a powerful horse weighing thousands of pounds to be controlled by the rider. And you and I, by the grace of God, can bridle the tongue and be very careful what we say and make sure that no corrupt communication proceeds out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Don't you like to be around people that kind of build you up, edify you, encourage you, and speak kindly? He says in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted." I tell you, kindness is a wonderful thing in this world. And he says, "Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, not hard-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Beloved, if you and I harbor hatred in our hearts and bitterness, it will eventually burn up our ability to reason, our ability to think soberly, and we'll just want vengeance and get back after people. Later on in chapter 5, he tells us to avoid fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. Don't let it once named. He would say, "Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting." Ooh, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? I remember Brother Sonny Pyle said, if there's one verse in the Bible I could take out of the Bible, that would be it. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Beloved, you say, "Brother Sam, I can't live by that standard. I can't live that kind of life." Well, if you and I ever get it in our minds who we are, we can. Remember what the pastor told that little boy in Tennessee. "Oh, I know who you are. You're one of God's little children." Does that register with anybody in the house? Do y'all get that this morning? Let's teach our children who they are in Jesus Christ. I know my dad and mom had a good name. And I remember my mama telling me when I got to be about 13 years old, mama knew human nature very well. She had a human nature of her own she had to try to control. And I remember mama telling me when I got to be a teenager, she said, "Sammy, remember remember that you're Elsie Bryant's son. Wow. That just kind of spoiled my fun. That would just kind of put me back in the harness. Remember, you're Elsie Bryant's son. Well, I want to remind me this morning, I'm God's son. I'm one of His children. And I could get away where mom and daddy couldn't see me. But I'll never go anywhere where God doesn't see me. David said, if I take the wings of the morning, fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, behold, He's there. I remember Brother Robert Sanders telling one time about looking for somebody, and Elder Robert Sanders is one of our good pastors here in Middle Georgia, and he was looking for somebody. His man's wife had gotten him to go looking for him, and he was in some bars in Dublin. And Brother Robert said, I went into this bar, and it was so dark in there. He said, I couldn't see. And he said, I realized why they want it dark in there. There's just things you going on in there you don't want people to see. But I want to tell you, you can't make it dark enough that God can't see. So, beloved, I want y'all to know where you're going. You're going to heaven. You're going to a city not made with hands. You're going to a glorified paradise. Jesus said to that dying thief who had really wasted his life and was getting what he deserved on that cross, Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's where you're going. And you're going there by grace because Jesus paid our sin debt. He died on that cross to save us, to make us accepted in the beloved. So I don't know what y'all are going to be facing this afternoon. We may go to DGRs. That sounds like a good idea. No telling what y'all are going to be facing tonight, tomorrow, Monday morning. Who knows? I can assure you one thing, life is going to be hard. Life is difficult. It is for everybody. But I just want us to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. Please, please remember that. If you have to write a big sign on the wall, put it up there. You know, God wanted the Jews to keep the Word of God in their foreheads. Now, the Jews came up with phylacteries, little boxes that they wore right here. And it was full of the Word of God. Now, the Jews, the Pharisees, unfortunately, did that for show. And Jesus condemned them for it. You may broad your phylacteries. So we don't go around, you know, trying to show off and telling people how wonderful we are and all of that. But let's just keep the Word of God on our mind. And remember who we are. You are saints. You are chosen. I don't care what this world does to us. We are chosen. Let me tell you, the martyrs in the first century, in second century, third century, and through the dark ages that died for their Christian faith left this world rejoicing because they were going to heaven by grace. And so, beloved, I know Satan, the world, and the flesh is always our enemy. I have to deal with all three of them every day of my life. But it just helps me to remember who I am in Jesus and how I got to be one of His children. It wasn't by something I did. See, if it was something I did, I might could boast and have a big head. It's by grace. It's free. It's unmerited, undeserved. I want us to sing Amazing Grace and give an opportunity to members in the church at this time. Remember, We were thrown away through Adam's sin, but God chose us at the trash dump and made us His. Praise His name.